And a good afternoon to you. I'm Kevin Kelly. This program is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And I appreciate you joining us today. On the program today, I'll be sharing a few highlights from past programs, as well as some selections from CDs that have been brought to us by guests who have passed through our area, including perhaps a new one or two. And in case you're new to Live and Local, perhaps I'll just give a quick explanation for why we're here. The name, I guess, essentially says it all. The program encourages folks to go out and hear live music in our listening area. And that can be by local artists, and by artists, I mean primarily musicians, but also actors, singing actors, dancers, in other words, the performing arts generally, but musicians especially. Or it can be local performances by artists who are visiting from elsewhere. And for example, coming up, Davina and the Vagabonds, a group out of Minnesota, were through our area last June, and we had the privilege to have them live in our studio, which is the other aspect of live and local. We don't always have live performances, but we frequently are able to arrange those. And she was here with her band, The Vagabonds. We'll be hearing from them coming up in a little bit. One of the performers who is local to our area, which is to say in the Springfield area, is a wonderful singer-songwriter named Ben Bedford. He was with his wife, Carrie, on our show this past January, the 26th, to be precise. And the segment we're going to hear begins with Ben talking about his particular approach to songwriting.
My older sister, Tanya, gave me a copy of Townes Van Zandt's High, Low, In Between, which is the first time I'd ever heard him or heard of him. I think I was in high school. And I just was blown away by, like you said, the actual songwriting. Not that I hadn't been impressed by plenty of other songwriters and songs before, but there was just something about the way that it seemed like he approached a song. In terms of sort of honing my own craft, I mean, I think it's, for me, it's just like just about anything else. And it was just like repetition and trial and failing at
lots of
reading.
I mean, that's part of being, I think, a writer, a good writer. Anyway, a good writer reads other writers, and it's how you stay in the dialogue, and that's how you stay in that conversation with
She's like a whole other part of my brain.
Wow. Were you even
I think very fast. Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad she's here.
Were you even writing songs at that point? I mean, you were all 17, I think.
No, I was not. I didn't start writing songs until I was like 19 or 20. So it took, I had to absorb it, I guess, for a while. He's got a lot of great albums. And he's not like, as far as a singer goes, maybe not, I guess, like what Carrie said, maybe not classically trained. But I find his voice really compelling and sort of very, there's something very human.
It's real. I mean, there's so many affected voices now.
Like,
there's so many sounds that are manufactured that I think it's actually kind of refreshing to hear what somebody actually sounds like when they open their mouth and sing. So yeah, his voice isn't pretty, but it's real. And
it was of course, people's voices change as they get older, but maybe slightly more
pleasant. And take a lot of drugs.
Right, yeah.
Toward the end of his life, his voice did change and not necessarily for the better.
I think his range kind of narrowed as he got older and, deepened kind of.
And then you have voices like Greg Brown that just seem to get deeper and richer and darker as they get older, who knows?
When you approach a song, decide I'm going to write a song. Do you do that? Do you say, I think I'm going to write a song now, and sit down and start writing, or does something inspire you to say, I think I need to write a song now?
Both, kind of. I would say I definitely do make a point of sitting down and writing, even when I don't necessarily have any inspiration in mind. And sometimes I kind of find my inspiration. I've sat down and written songs before that I thought were about one thing, and actually it turned out to be about something else. Like, I actually, you know, have decided that whatever I was writing, I didn't like or whatever, and I just sort of overhauled the song but kept the structure or whatever. But yeah, I'm definitely inspired by specific things. Like, the title track to my second album, Land of the Shadows, which is about the murder of Emmett Till, Carrie and I had watched a documentary mm-hmm. about that. And, you know, I had heard the story before, you know, studying American history, but something about the documentary just sort of hit home. And once again, it was kind of like, I think we watched the documentary probably 9 months before I actually wrote the song, but it sort of stewed in there for a while. And then one day that one was maybe the best example of a time where I had to write a song right then. I had to sit down and I had to write it. And it was like in the middle of the night that I wrote that song.
So after steeping for a while, well, for a long while,
yeah,
this idea, or at least this topic, at some point something crystallized and said, there it is. Excuse me, Carrie, I'm going downstairs.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah, that has happened, yeah, mm-hmm. where I've just been like, well, I've got to go write. I've got something rolling around in my head that just seems like it has to come out.
And then does it come out quickly, typically?
Or? Sometimes, but sometimes not. Sometimes it'll feel like I've got something in there, and I'll sit down to write, and I'll get like a verse, and I'll really like the verse, but then it just stops, and nothing seems to. And those I just leave to come back to later, I guess. If I think it's good enough, like if I think the first verse is like, wow, that's a really great start, then I'll really work at it and try to, you know, I don't want to say force something to come out, but just, you know, sit, and this is where I drive Carrie crazy, but I'll sit and like stare at the wall and play the same three or four chords over and over and over again for 2 or 3 hours and sing nonsense, you know, sort of sing nonsense lines, lyrics out loud. And it's a pretty awful thing to listen to, probably.
So is songwriting for you not actually sitting down with a pencil in your hand and
sometimes
writing.
It is, but oftentimes not.
Usually it seems like he does both. He has both together.
Yeah, usually I would say, at least lately, it's been maybe I'll have like a line or two in my head that will just, I'll write down, and then later I'll go sit down and just sort of sing those two lines and sort of try to come up with something that feels organic on the guitar that goes along with that, and then see if anything sort of flows out after it. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Can we hear something that maybe is of a different sort of portrait than what we just heard?
Sure.
You can interpret that however you want, of course.
Sure, yeah, we do John the Baptist. We didn't know him personally. So.
No, John the Baptist we didn't know personally. No.
But it's a portrait nonetheless.
Yeah, this is a song, I guess. I don't. It's about John the Baptist, I guess.
That was the inspiration.
Yeah, that was the original inspiration, but maybe people can get other things out of it too. From the sun, his face was flecked with sweat. Red stain on the back of his neck. Howling out beneath the sky. You don't have to be afraid to die. River water's cool and clean. Burnt scent off like gasoline. Never mind your tooth for tooth. From a madman, truth is still the truth. You've been warned you won't get far. Life's crooked as a scimitar. Cut the cord, there ain't no doubt. There's one way in, one way out. Down through time it's been foretold.
tongue's as hot as burnished coal, a harbinger of hair and bone. Wailing in the wild alone. Wanna see what's up above? And pledge your heart to the hanging judge. But don't wait around, cause time rolls fast. The present's just the recent past. You've been warned you won't get far. Life's crooked as a scimitar. Cut the cord, there ain't no doubt. It's one way in, one way out. Well, the devil skulks round every bend, and a broken soul you cannot mend. Not till you raise repentant hands, and a thorn tree in the garden stands. From the sun his face was flecked with sweat, a red stain on the back of his neck, howling out beneath the sky. You don't have to be afraid to die. You don't have to be afraid to die.
The song is called John the Baptist from the album What We Lost by Ben Bedford, singer-songwriter who was joined by his wife Carrie. Live on our studio this past January 26th. And he lives in Springfield and often performs around here and happened to be here on, you know, to be honest, I forget if he was performing right around or if he just took the opportunity to come in and share his wares, so to speak, on the program. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I'll be sharing a few highlights from past shows on today's program and some recordings by artists who live and work here and also are from elsewhere and have been through our area fairly recently. Our program today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's music heritage at the University of Illinois. Now featuring new exhibits entitled On the Road Again, Cruising Coast to Coast with America's Music. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. The month of November is designated as American Music Month, and for that occasion, on tomorrow's Live and Local, I will welcome the director of the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music at the University of Illinois, Scott Schwartz, to talk about some of the current exhibitions. That'll be on tomorrow's Live and Local during the 4 o'clock hour. Here is a group that is local to Champaign-Urbana. They call themselves Mondoro Rhythm Success, and they play popular music from Zimbabwe by artists such as Thomas Mapfumo, Oliver Mtukudzi, and others. They perform in clubs and at festivals around the area, and their members, they have members from Zimbabwe as well as some who have lived here, have studied music here. Rather, who have lived there, meaning Zimbabwe, or have studied music there, or, as they say, just wanted to try and play something completely different. Gordon Kay is the drummer, Clifford Jacopo on percussion and vocals, Tony Perman on mbira and vocals. J.B. Farris is the bass player, also does vocals, Ben Hay lead guitar, Ben Jude rhythm guitar, and Tom Torino on mbira, accordion, kina, vocals, etc., it says, and anybody who knows Tom Torino will certainly understand the etc., because he certainly does cover a lot of territory instrumentally and stylistically. Here is a tune called Mondoro from Mondoro Rhythm Success here on Live and Local.
Oh yeah, morning to night, I'm on the road. Bana baba. Oh yeah, morning to night, I'm on the road. Bana baba. Oh yeah, morning to night, I'm on the road. Bana baba. Oh yeah, morning to night, I'm on the road. Bana baba. Oh no, no, oh no, no, my dear. Baba here, vamos chapano. Bondoro, bondoro, massimo. Baba here, vamos chapano. Bondoro, bondoro, Zimbabwe. Baba here, vamos chapano. Bondoro, bondoro, massimo. Baba here, vamos chapano.
That's a band local to Champaign-Urbana called Mondoro Rhythm Success, a live performance, as you could probably tell. And they take their name from a word in Zimbabwe's Shona, the religion of Zimbabwe's Shona majority, which means lion spirit. The rhythm success part, they have a harder time explaining. You're welcome to explore their website, which is mondororhythmsuccess.com, spelled M-H-O-N-D-O-R-O, rhythmsuccess.com. That tune was simply called Mondoro, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Today's program, I'm sharing some highlights from past programs and also some recordings by local and touring musicians. The next segment comes from the University of Illinois Opera Program, which I guess it was 2 weekends ago now, gave the final performances led by its present artistic director, Eduardo Diaz Munoz. Eduardo is leaving the University of Illinois School of Music to go to the Sydney Conservatory in Sydney, Australia, and head the orchestral program there. And they just performed Giuseppe Verdi's Falstaff, which I had the privilege to see one of the casts, and I thought it was a really fine production. Back in the winter, this past February, they were performing the musical My Fair Lady. And we had some of their singers in our studio, as well as Professor Diaz Munoz, as we frequently do, to preview the program. And that segment began with Eduardo's explaining why he chose a musical for an opera program.
I know that there's a lot of controversy surrounding why an opera program is doing musicals. Well, I have three good reasons. The main one for me is that musical theater is a genuine American art form. And I've always believed in being coherent with the country I am living at and to promote the art that is being produced in that specific country, be it Spain, Mexico, Argentina, Uruguay, Venezuela, all the countries that I've lived in. So I don't find it by any ways demeaning to promote tango or Astor Piazzolla or to promote zarzuelas, just as I don't consider it a lesser art form to promote musicals. Now, there are musicals and there are musicals, but it's the very same as in symphonies. There are symphonies and there are symphonies, right? So, I mean, I guess that the trick there is to really have a sense of what is quality-wise excellent and what will convey in a very highly artistic level not only a musical message or a compelling story, but works that teaches something, that leaves in our hearts, minds, and souls some sort of lesson about human behavior. So certainly, My Fair Lady does all of that. And so, and then I started to think that since we came with the idea of having a fully staged production for the third slot way back in 2006, and I've been pushing very hard to keep that going on, we don't have a full symphony orchestra for that, so we always go for the New Music Ensemble as our pit orchestra, or the Baroque Ensemble, that Concerto Urbano, that is conducted by Charlotte Maddox. So this was the year to continue with a modern piece, and suddenly, just like that, out of the blue, it popped into my head that Three Penny would be the perfect balance, because for the first time since I arrived here, all three works have been conceived in the 20th century. And each one represents a unique epoch of the 20th century. One at the very beginning, 1912, like Florencia was composed actually in 1996, but it goes back to the mid-20s. Then the Three Penny Opera, also in the 20s, but reflects that era. And then My Fair Lady, the beginning of the century. And each of these works were composed at different times. Three Penny in the mid-20s, My Fair Lady in the 50s, and Catan's Florencia in the 90s. So I think that I could present to our audience and to our students a very well-balanced horizon of what had been done by different composers in different styles in our last century. And most of us were born there in the 20th century. So to me, it suddenly just made click. And of course, when I shared this with the late Tom Schleiss, he was very, very happy about those findings.
So. And so there's a whole season dedicated to his memory.
Yes, and the whole season is dedicated to him,
We're talking with Eduardo Diaz-Munoz, artistic director of the opera program at the University of Illinois School of Music. They're presenting My Fair Lady starting Thursday and running through Sunday at the Krannert Center in Urbana. And we have a bunch of music we want to showcase from it. Why don't we start off with whatever we're going to start off with, which is... What?
I could have danced all night. Well, I could, but I don't know if she would.
She, in this case, is Kristen Colvin, who is half of the double cast in the role of Eliza Doolittle. Wendy Muir is the other. We'll hear her coming up. And we have at the orchestral piano here, Kara Channing, who has been on this show a number of times, playing in various settings. She's also principal coach, assistant conductor, and course master for this production. To name just a few, yeah. And people will know this music.
Bed, bed, I couldn't go to bed. My head's too light to try to set it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight. Not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night. And still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done. Made it so exciting. Why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me. I could have danced, danced all night. And still have begged for
Live in our studio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was a segment about the musical My Fair Lady, which the University of Illinois Opera Program was putting on last February. They were in on the 26th, the preview of the show, which was coming up at the time. Eduardo Diaz Munoz was artistic director of the program. And in fact, he just conducted his final performance in that capacity before he moves on to Sydney, Australia, to direct the orchestral program at the conservatorium there. And that segment ended with Kristen Colvin singing I Could Have Danced All Night. Kristen, one of two singing actors from the opera program who shared the role of Eliza Doolittle. I happened to see the performance, one of the two performances that featured Wendy Muir, and I have to say, she was absolutely fabulous. And I would be astounded if she doesn't go on to do some great things. You're listening to Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I'm sharing some highlights from past shows on today's program. Programs on WYLL today are made possible with the support of the Friends of WYLL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. One of the groups local to our area who are giving concerts this holiday season, and I mean Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then New Year's, and their particular concert tends to have a lot of music that represents especially Christmas. I'm talking about the group sponsored by the Decatur Choral Society called Opus 24. Their fall concert is tomorrow night at St. Patrick Church in Decatur with a 7:30 start time. And here are a couple of highlights, a couple of performances from their fall concert of 2010. Milton Scott is their director, Beth Creighton, the piano accompanist, and we'll hear first music by John Rutter called Blow, Blow, Thou Winter Wind. It comes from As You Like It of Shakespeare. And then Bob Chilcott's arrangement of the traditional Shaker tune known as The Gift. Opus 24 from Decatur here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Those are two performances from the fall concert of 2010 by the Decatur Choral Ensemble called Opus 24, directed by Milton Scott, and featuring pianist Beth Creighton, who is their regular accompanist. That performance was given at St. Patrick Church in Decatur, which is where their fall concert this year will be tomorrow night at 7:30. If you want more information, you can go to, I think the web address is, Google Decatur Choral Society, and you will certainly find it that way, if not under Opus 24. The tunes we heard were by John Rutter, Blow, Blow, Thou Winter Wind from As You Like It, and then Bob Chilcutt's arrangement of the traditional shaker tune known here as The Gift. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and been sharing some highlights from past programs and some other recordings from our collection. The next highlight features a group that is out of the Twin Cities in Minnesota called Davina and the Vagabonds. They were in Champaign this past June for a couple of nights performing at Mike and Molly's in downtown. And we had the chance after their first performance to have them here live in the studio. And this segment begins with Davina talking about how she developed her particular vocal style, how the band came together, and her own approach to songwriting. Davina and the Vagabonds were live in our studio on FM 90.9.
I have tons of people that I look up to as a musician. And there's, you know, I think through the years growing up and listening to all the different types of music that I've listened to, you know, it's definitely instilled me with different types of phrasing. I really like to break the boundaries of phrasing. I feel it's my instrument. So I feel it's really important to stylistically change phrasing and the way I'm saying things because I'm trying to portray that story, that particular story. I don't know if it's a persona. It's so hard for me to answer these questions because I don't know if it's necessarily a persona because it's just definitely who I am and it's who, and I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm supposed to be this way. Like, I don't want to sound like that at all, but I'm genuinely doing in my head what my brain is telling me to do and how to sing it. That's what comes out of my mouth. I never really think particularly, you know what, I'm going to nail this like Amy Winehouse nailed it. Because I honestly have listened to maybe 4 songs of Amy Winehouse in the past 2 years, and I've been singing since I was a child. Maybe we all, you know, I don't know. It's my instrument. I just felt really important to do different things with my instrument, to do different things with my voice, to be able to portray those phrases and that specific story in a way that my heart and my brain are telling me to do at the same time, you know. I love all different. Robert Plant, I mean, I love the way he sings. Do I sound like Robert Plant? Sometimes, maybe. No, I don't, do I?
No, not quite. A little bit.
But, you know, there's, you know, I mean, I love Fats Waller, Robert Plant. I love Jeff Tweedy off of Wilco, you know. I love Billie Holiday, and I love, you know, Ella Fitzgerald, and I love all of them. Do I listen to them, and have I mimicked them? Absolutely not. Yeah, I mean,
There was, again, sort of looking at influences that are apparently have influenced the band now,
yeah.
Going more than just Davina. There was mention of gospel creeping into this notion of a, you know, kind of a technical blues band.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not call you guys particularly a blues band.
We're not.
But, you know, it says right here, broke on the national blues scene. I don't know. It depends on the song.
Yeah.
But that one, you know, it sounded like, I mean, I hear a lot of gospel singer in you, but also I did see that, you know, the band is maybe a little more New Orleans, say, than Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And 100%. Part of that is the horns.
Uh-huh.
So which comes back to earlier question, how did you form the band? Where'd you get the idea for the horns? Because the average, unless you're talking about Blues Brothers, I suppose, they have horns in that band, don't they? Or
yeah. Oh,
did they?
Yeah, they have a large amount of horns. Yeah.
I never saw that movie, so I don't know.
I mean, Michael, maybe you can help me out here because you helped me with this. We didn't want a guitar player, not because we hate guitar, but
everybody's got a guitar player.
Everybody does, and there's plenty of them. And I think because I played the piano and Michael played the bass as well, I think we covered that pocket of what was needed for that specific instrument. When, you know.
So Michael, help her out here. She asked. Be nice.
Because he was, you know, Michael's a huge part of this, you know, band. He's being a founding father of this band as well, you know. So
When we started playing, we were a three-piece. And
the third was?
Just drums.
Just drums.
Drums, bass, and
piano, yeah. Bass, drums. That's jazz trio.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we
were playing, we were listening to more like Ben Folds 5 kind of stuff. And Davina was a fan of Bob Dylan, The Dead, a lot of the 60s.
The band.
Music, the band. So when that sound guy approached us with a gig, we were like, oh, yeah, sure, we have a band. And we learned like 50 songs, but they were all like 2 minutes long. So I was doing a house gig with a horn section at that time every Thursday. So we had hired the sax and trumpet to come along. And then they eventually stayed with us and did other gigs with us. And that's the first, our first record is saxophone and trumpet, bass, drums, and Davina.
I think it definitely like started, the more that Michael and I played, the more that I wrote, you know, we're huge fans of Preservation Hall Band and, you know, even some of like the, Professor Longhair. And I think just the more I wrote, the influence of growing up with an older parent. My father was born in 1902 and he was my adopted father. And then my mom was a folk singer. And I think some of that kind of came in with the writing part I always kind of lend to some of that, you know, Reader's Digest 1940s songbook kind of thing, you know, and for some reason I developed that with my piano because that's what I grew up listening to and playing, you know. But the more influences that we've had with the musicians that we've had, that's really made our songbook, with the covers in particular, you know, and then with the writing, that just happens. I just write the song and it sounds the way it is. That's why our genres are all over the place, because I'm all over the place when it comes to what I've been reared to, you know, listening to. So,
well, we'll follow up on little threads of this shortly, but let's hear another song. Okay. As long as we're talking about songs.
Right. Let's do it. We're going to do another original, and I have no idea what it's going to be. Oh, let's do St. Michael versus the Devil.
Under the gates of heaven, trying to find a clock to prove the day is gonna end in. I've been drinking my poison, staring at my feet, waving my sword in the air in defeat. I've got holes in my wings, a blue note in my voice. I've got blood on my hands, you see, I didn't have a choice. I left his poor soul under the bridge of Hennepin and Pine. That dirty old dog thought he was leaving me behind. He's a dirty little devil. He's a dirty little devil. He's a sneaky little devil. He's a dirty little devil. Well, he promised me gold and he promised me love. He promised me a good time if I left up above. He said I ain't got no paycheck. In fact, I ain't got no life. Cause I fly around all day and I fly around all night. He's a sneaky little devil. He's a daddy little devil. He's a sneaky, sneaky, dirty little devil. Yes, he is. I got trouble indeed. I ain't got the kind of trouble you can touch, taste, or see. And I thought for a second, boy, this devil could be right. But I've been taking orders from a man assumed to dress in white. And I ain't the one burning. Under the gates of heaven, trying to find a clock to prove the day is gonna end in heaven. I'm drinking my poison, I'm staring at my feet. He's a sneaky little devil. He's a dirty, 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 dirty little devil. He's a sneaky, sneaky.
That's a tune called St. Michael Versus the Devil by Davina and the Vagabonds. Davina Sowers, they're a vocalist, and they were in downtown Champaign for performances at Mike and Molly's this past June, and they stopped in our studio to give us an hour live here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on our program today. Wanted to let you know a few things that are going on in our listening area for the next couple of days that you can go out and see and hear live, including tonight at 7:30 in Decatur at Central Christian Church. It's a concert by the Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra, 7:30 tonight. I mentioned earlier Opus 24 giving their fall concert tomorrow night in Decatur at St. Patrick Church. That's at 7:30 as well. Jazz musician Easton Stewart is at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And on Wednesday, also at the Iron Post at 5 o'clock in the evening, Jeff Helgeson and friends performing. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I try to get in as many of particularly the better-known visiting performers, traveling performers who come through our area, and sometimes try and try and try again, and usually we succeed. Here's a recording from one who got away. I think we had Audra McDonald scheduled maybe three times, and her schedule ultimately prohibited our getting together on this one. She was at the Krannert Center in Urbana last September. I was able to hear the concert, but didn't get to talk to her for Live and Local. Here is the title track from her CD called Go Back Home.
Lying all alone, I'm thinking, staring at the stars. I wonder, since I've been away, I'm lonely, when I'm gonna go back home. Walking through the world, things happen right before your eyes. Things happen, soon enough you're lost. I'm thinking